Checkmate, don't be late. Take another pull, and while you're at it, put on some Aerosmith. This is Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined, as always, by John Mariano. And John, for the folks listening, it's just the next week since our last show, but gosh darn it, we haven't recorded an Aerosmith show in forever.
Corey, we are the Shakers and we are the Lovemakers. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm very glad that, you know, vacations are out of the way. And we're just ready to get back in the saddle, as it were, and to start playing some Aerosmith.
I don't know about that, Corey. You know, like you said, it's been some time since we last talked, even though it's only been a little bit of time for the fans or the listeners. I don't like calling them fans because I don't necessarily believe in that in my life. But I believe in listeners. And I am grateful for each and every one of you. And to keep things interesting, while on my break and taking in copious amounts of alcohol and being a good parent, not necessarily at the same time, but kind of sort of overlapping, I came up with an idea, Corey.
This is always dangerous whenever you get thinking, John. Now, this show in its format was your idea originally, so I'm intrigued of what you have in that brain pan of yours that you're ready to spring on me.
That's unfair. I mean, we kind of poached this from you and Mark, and we just, like I said, dice. And then I said, hey, let's make it, give it a point, and like, let's make a mixtape.
Yeah. The MacGuffin was yours, the format we kind of cribbed from other places.
And with that being said, I think it was a loose idea. And it's a good idea, but I think it needs some finessing. I'm not saying the mixtape is going away, but maybe we play with it a little bit.
All right.
I think, I don't know about you, but I feel like I'm struggling because I think we're going to run dangerously close to the end of this of creating the next Aerosmith's greatest hits.
Yes, I've had similar thoughts. And as fans of Aerosmith well know, they have released as many compilation albums as they have original albums. I think it's actually 12 original albums and 13 compilations, if I remember correctly. They got a ton of greatest hits out there. And so we wanted our mixtape to be different than that.
So with that spirit in mind, they do have a lot of greatest hits. You know what kind of greatest hits they don't have?
What's that?
A live greatest hits.
No, they actually have a lot of live albums. If I'm just kind of looking at the list, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... seven. Technically, they have seven live albums.
So what if we take side B, the B side, if you will, and we make it what's typically the A tracks, right? But side B is going to be the nine definitive, I don't want to call them the best, but our favorite live tracks Aerosmith has recorded. So it has to be Aerosmith release. Like I have a Woodstock bootleg that I own. That wouldn't be eligible. Any other bootlegs, you know, won't be eligible unless it's been a released album.
Mm-hmm.
So like live bootleg would be eligible, but not another bootleg.
Right. So we are allowing one bootleg. It's the official bootleg.
Yeah. It's the, hey, we named this thing bootleg to be cheeky.
Yeah. No, 94 they did. There was an official double album released from Woodstock 94.
Oh.
Because I had it on CD. And Aerosmith is actually on disc one. And they're doing Draw the Line. And, you know, right before the guitar break, they throw in a little bit of F-I-N-E from Pump.
Well, that track will definitely be eligible to be discussed for this portion of the mixtape. But we still have a problem. We have an A-side.
Yeah.
So with the A side, I'm thinking any song that was not released as a single, meaning B sides would be eligible, but A sides would not be eligible for our A side. Okay. And those are studio tracks. and we pick our nine, what you want to call our nine favorites, nine that mean the most to us, it does move your chip away the stone way up on the list all of a sudden.
Yes, because that was kind of released as a single though off of Gems.
Oh, we might not have a loophole for you, Corey. But you might.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it. Are we going by Wikipedia? Because they have a Aerosmith single discography, and they actually have Chip Away listed twice. Once off of Live Bootleg, peaking at number 77 on the American charts, and the Gems version, which is what we did, peaking at number 13 on the U.S. rock chart. So yeah, it was reissued twice.
Yeah, so if it was issued as a single, it's no bueno for side A.
No, but it's going to make it on side B. So, or no, it's going to make it on.
So we haven't talked about anything else yet, Corey.
Well, I'm just thinking there is a live version from Live Bootleg that we can get it on side B.
But Corey did tip our hand because we are not in the mood to take things away from our listeners.
No,
we are in the mood to add things for our listeners. And the other thing, and I know we release these things way later than expected, right? But in real time, we're in August, and Aerosmith, a week or two ago, tweeted out possible playlists for their residency out in Vegas.
Yes.
And it inspired the idea of doing just an Aerosmith top 10. And that's what we're going to call it, the Aerosmith top 10. And it's going to be John and Corey's Aerosmith top 10. It's not going to be like by the fans. It's not going to be the definitive. It's going to be what Corey and I discuss as the top 10. Any song is eligible to go on there. I think that there are some obvious ones off the top that will definitely be on there. Those will all be studio versions. So that'll give us something to talk about on every episode of which list it possibly goes on or doesn't go on.
So just to sum up, the mixtape is still 18 tracks, 9 aside. Side A is going to be all deep cuts or things that were not released as a single. And Aerosmith has had a ton of singles. Obviously, we're covering a lot of songs here, but that automatically takes a whole bunch of songs out of the mix here. Side B is going to be all live cuts. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the biggest hits, right? It's just our favorite live cuts. Because on some of these live albums, they do a song like Moving Out or something, not a big hit or anything, but still maybe worthy of inclusion on the live side of the mixtape. Is that correct?
Yeah, Corey, that's correct. As long as it's a live track, any old live track, it is eligible. But I guarantee if you and I are putting it together, it's going to be a kick-ass live track.
Let's recap, John, because it's been forever, what we currently have on our die. And we have, they're pretty much all deep cuts at this point, except for one. We have Sheila, The Farm, Theme from Spider-Man, Pink, Walking the Dog, and Fever.
Hey, well, with that, let's, we covered a lot of our own hot mess. You know who we haven't talked about yet, Corey?
Our sponsor. I suppose I should bring that up, shouldn't I?
It might help. Like, Ken Knapsack is doing the Lord's work with his pop, rock, and radio.
You know what? I popped in there on Saturday night, and Ken was absolutely killing it.
Yeah, I was listening to the episode on delay today, and just simply what a fantastic way to open the show.
Oh, when I jumped in there, he was, I think he was playing Heart, Barracuda. Like, great way to come into the show.
Yeah,
but that's...
I was just going to say, he opened with some Elton John, which will always have a special place for me.
Right. And of course, that's Ken Knapsack's Pop, Rock, and Radio, the big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop, Rock, and Radio community. And John, one thing I did hear was a little stinger that sounded kind of familiar. Kind of sounded like you were on there.
Kind of sound like you were on there too.
Yeah, a little bit.
But so if you guys want to hear our stinger or the chance to hear our stinger, download the Mixcloud app and follow Pop, Rock, and Radio because it is the perfect playlist for any Saturday night or any night you're entertaining your friends.
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
Steven Tyler's a big fan of Pop Rock and Radio as well. But what do you say, John? Let's give this dice a shake and see what we come up with tonight. And we are going to get the theme from Spider-Man. All right. Kind of apropos because Spider-Man No Way Home is getting re-released in theaters, John.
Yeah. And what's funny is, you know, as excited as I was for Spider-Man to come out, we were all, nobody knew what to expect. Raimi had taken it over from James Cameron. It was way more exciting when James Cameron was involved. And he hired, we had always speculating who would play Peter Parker. And he hired Tobey Maguire. And I remember me and my buddies nicknamed this movie The Spider-House Rules, because Tobey Maguire was coming off of The Spider-House Rules. And yeah, look, we were wrong. And tucked away in the heart of this movie is an Aerosmith theme song on the soundtrack. And they play it at the end of the movie. And I gotta say, it kicks ass, dude.
Well, and I have fond memories of the theme from Spider-Man, because when I was a kid, I would watch the Spider-Man cartoon all the time. And it had that classic Spider-Man does whatever a spider can. You know, so this is really going to bring me back to my childhood. I got to admit, I probably haven't heard this track since the Spider-Man soundtrack came out. And even then, you know, that soundtrack was, you know, it was all about Chad Kroeger, right? In that hero song he did.
Well, and my favorite part, as much as the original 60s song was great, my favorite part of it would be when it would tune out a little bit and Stan Lee would do the intro to each episode on the cartoon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so Stan Lee did the narration for the Spider-Man cartoon in the 60s.
Oh, wow. No, completely forgot that.
Unless I'm misremembering that, too. I have a penchant for that, my friend.
And somebody, I'm sure, is going to correct this. Like, already, I'm looking at that new list of singles you gave me, and we actually had a second single on the die tonight, and that was Sheila. From Done With Mirrors, so already I've screwed up.
Well, what are you going to do? At least it wasn't on the mixtape yet.
There you go. All right, so now I just got to find this. Here we go. What do you say, John? You ready for a little theme from Spider-Man?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear Nickelback's Hero.
Wrong show. If you want to start a Nickelback show, let me know.
All right, we'll do.
Already different than what I remember from the Saturday morning cartoon, but I'm digging it.
I mean, we have a baseline, and when you start with a baseline, fun stuff is going to ensue. And like, if you can't feel the rhythm that we're getting something jazzy for Spider-Man that only Aerosmith can bring, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I like the sirens feel. It feels important to me.
Yeah, totally. And this came out, what, 2002?
Yeah.
So this would have been after Just Push Play and before Honkin' on Bobo. So kind of right in that wheelhouse for Aerosmith. And I'm just looking at the music from and inspired by Spider-Man soundtrack album. This track was actually produced by Steven Tyler, Joe Perry, and Marty Fredrickson, a longtime collaborator of the band here. Some pretty decent bands. Like we mentioned, Chad Kroeger's on here. Sum 41 has a cut on here. Default, Corey Taylor, The Strokes, The Hives, Theory of a Dead Man, a lot of Canadian acts, actually. Dre Cantrell's on here.
Macy Gray's got to be on there, right?
Not seeing Macy Gray. What did she do from that movie? Oh, she was in the movie.
She was in the movie on the parade. That's why I'm surprised she's not on the soundtrack.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, My Nutmeg Fantasy. Yeah. The Morello Mix, Macy Gray featuring Angie Stone and Mos Def.
Yeah, so that makes sense. I know that they play this Aerosmith song over the credits, over the end credits.
And actually on this album, they have the original theme from Spider-Man classic TV series theme song as well. That kicks off the album. The Aerosmith's version is closer to the end.
And that 60s song is kind of hidden. It's an Easter egg in the movie. There's a guy playing it in the subway.
Right. I remember that now. Spider-Man. All right, so when you hear Aerosmith is doing Theme from Spider-Man, kind of all of the elements you would hope that were in there are in there. Like, you got that great sounding guitar riff. Steven's killing it. And you're waiting for the lookout, and I wanted that demon to scream and look out. And he gave us one of those too. And then into here comes the Spider-Man. Joey on the drums, fantastic. Loving it.
Do you find it's crazy that it's just the 60s cartoon song played by Aerosmith?
No, why mess with perfection, right? You just kind of do it at your own tempo, rock it up a little bit. You don't need to touch lyrics or anything.
Yeah, I think it's amazing that we're getting this right now. Like, the fact that this exists at all just is insane to me.
I kind of wish that John Watts and Kevin Feige would have brought this back for No Way Home. You brought back Tobey Maguire, bring back Theme from Spider-Man too. This still kicks.
Are they duplicating Steven's voice on this song? Like, is that other people singing with him, or are they just duplicating his track?
Usually Steven will double track it, or sometimes triple track. That's usually him.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to I think harmonize with Steven Tyler. He's got such a distinctive voice that he usually just does it himself. And I know in earlier concerts, they used to have a keyboard player touring with them. He would do a lot of the background singing. I think now they just kind of play along a Steven track that he kind of sings along to try and replicate that album. But this almost kind of gives me a little bit of electronic vibe, right? You could tell this is kind of coming around Just Push Play before they kind of ditched all the bells and whistles and got back to basics with Honkin' on Bobo. But it definitely has kind of an industrial, almost kind of electronic vibe, don't you think?
Yeah, this was not my favorite era of Aerosmith, but for this song and for this movie, I think it works really well.
I thought for a second that siren is coming from you, John, living in New York City, but I think that's on the song, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's part of the song. And I don't know, like, I know we're making lots of room for new songs, and this might be controversial, but I don't know that I feel like this is worthy of any of these lists that we have here. Like, to me, it's not very representative of what Aerosmith brings to the table.
Right.
It's a fun track, and it's fun on the soundtrack, and I'm happy it exists. But even the way it ended, like, it felt like it almost felt like the White Men Can't Jump of Aerosmith songs, right? Or the Return of the King of Aerosmith songs, meaning it felt like it had multiple endings, right? Like I felt like it was over like at least two times during this song.
Okay.
I don't know how you felt.
I don't disagree. It's kind of a neat little thing. Ultimately, I don't think it's going to end up. I guess this would belong on the deep cut side of our mixtape now, because according to the list you gave me here, it was not released as a single. And actually, I'm trying to figure out which session they would have recorded this at. And I guess they were recording some new tracks for another greatest hits album called Oh Yeah, the Ultimate Aerosmith Hits. Was released in 2002, and it had a couple of new tracks. Girls of Summer was the single off that, and Lay It Down. And actually, a theme from Spider-Man was included on the non-US edition of this greatest hit. So it would have been, I imagine, during those sessions that they recorded this. Technically, John, we have 8 tracks on the deep side right now, so this would slot in there at number 9, or do we just say, screw it, leave it at 8 for now, and the next deep cut will go on there?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we can afford to be a little picky now, right? Like, we're deep enough into the show where people get it. We have some incomplete lists right now. If we don't feel a song belongs on there, I don't think that we're obligated to put it on there at this point. Do you?
No, I'm cool with that.
Like I think we did it in the first 18 episodes to kind of establish what the show was. You folks get it, right? Like. We make lists, but we also, we got to curate a little bit. And I just don't think that this belongs on an Aerosmith list.
No, it would be probably the first thing gone anyway. So I'm cool. We'll just leave this one off. Theme from Spider-Man, kind of a neat little thing from 2002 and from the Sam Raimi classic film Spider-Man, but doesn't really belong on any of the current mixtapes or lists that we have going for Aerosmith. So I believe that was my pick. If I'm thinking way, way back, I put a theme from Spider-Man on there. So that means I got to pick a song to go on the die right now. And right now we got, we got a couple of singles, Sheila and Pink. We got 3 deep cuts in The Farm, Walking the Dog, and Fever. So what do you say you put a live cut on there? Let's get the live side of the Ultimate Aerosmith mixtape going. And I'm thinking I want to go all the way back to Classics Live. And let's do a little Kings and Queens.
I just listened to this on my trip I went on. I mean, you might have picked a keeper.
I know, because I know this version too on Classics Live 1. This is by far, I think, my favorite version of Kings and Queens. So
this might be my favorite song or my favorite track off of these two albums. And that's saying a lot.
Oh, that's going to be fun. So the current die that we have going on here has Sheila, The Farm, Pink, Walking the Dog, Fever, and Kings and Queens from Classics Live 1. What do you think, John? Anything else before we call it a night here?
Yeah, look, we kept Spider-Man off the soundtrack, but I look at it like if anybody's seen No Way Home, the first thing they did was they got rid of the Green Goblin's mask from that movie. And it's kind of like, it was fine for its time, but that time has passed, and now we move on. And the song was fine for its time. It's a fun little ditty to talk about, but we're on to bigger and better things now.
Absolutely. And I'm kind of excited with the direction you're taking us. Hopefully the fans are as well. I know that we've had some contributors to the show, like Mark Kammeyer, who I think will be interested in what's going to happen to Janie's Got a Gun? Now that that's currently on the top 10, how long does it stay on the top 10? When you think about top 10 Aerosmith tracks, Janie's is one of those bubble tracks, right? You could see it on there, but you could see it leaving too. So that's going to be interesting. Of course, Jeff Saunders put some hits on there for us too. I'm wondering what a guy like Scott Haskin thinks about what we're doing now. I'm sure he's going to have some fun with this new format, either suggesting deep cuts or live tracks. I tell you, he's a big fan of Permanent Vacation, and I'm looking at a song like Girl Keeps Coming Apart, that might have a long shelf life on the deeper cut side of the mixtape. What do you think?
I think, the only way we can find out is you have Scott back on and you let him put together a die based on this new format and we see what he has to say. In fact, I think we bring everybody back once in a while that we've had on and let them play with this new format.
You know what? Maybe I should suggest something here, because Heath McCoy was on, and he actually brought up a live track, Mother Popcorn, that we eliminated off the mixtape. But now we have this whole almost completely open live side. What do you think about putting Mother Popcorn back on there?
Ooh, so you want to get really controversial, and you want what you're telling me is you want to put a zombie track on there?
A zombie track? Well, I guess if you want to put it that way. I was just thinking, you know, it was a pretty heated discussion taking away Mother Popcorn. Right now, Sweet Emotion is so lonely on the live side. I think we do Heath a solid. He's a great guy, a great guest, and it's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want, right? I say we put Mother Popcorn back on there for now and see how long it rides.
So if you want to turn Mother Popcorn into The Walking Dead and make it a zombie track that you brought back to life, and by all means, I think you should. It's a great track. Heath's a great guy. I'm just, you know, I'm not a big fan of the occult and what happens when you bring things back to life.
I understand.
Many horror movies.
But you know what? Mother Popcorn in itself kind of brought back to life by Aerosmith. It's a pretty old song that they covered, so.
It's a James Brown track. Yeah, those songs never grow old.
That's true. Well, I got my machete. If Mother Popcorn comes at you, John, I'll chop its head off for you.
Will that be your responsibility this time, so that way he can get upset at you?
Perfect. So on the live side, we have Sweet Emotion and Mother Popcorn from Live Bootleg, currently on our top 10 list in no particular order. Should we rank these, or are we just going to go random?
I think we're just going to go random, because then it opens up the discussion like we've always had of what's coming off. Right now, whatever's on there is sticking on there. We have a couple of lists that are almost done where we can start bumping stuff, and the live track list has a ways to go.
That's right. Live track, we only have the two, but on the top 10 right now, we have Let the Music Do the Talking, Chip Away the Stone, The Other Side, Janie's Got a Gun, Crazy, Eat the Rich, Mama Kin, and Shut Up and Dance. John, where can the good folks find you if they're looking for you online?
Oh, you can find me. Besides Tinder. I mean, you can find me right here. Talking Aerosmith, you can find me on Backtrack's theme music, talking movies and music with Corey. Guessing once in a while if Corey wants me to, or, you know, at my house, hanging out on my porch. How about you, Corey? Where can people find you if they want to stalk you?
They can find me too many places. I'm really easy to find. They can find me on Twitter at CD Morissette. They can find me on the aforementioned Backtrack's theme music. The show that dropped today as we record this was 9 to 5, which I think was one of John's finer podcasting moments in his career. Go check out that show. It's a lot of fun. And they can find me on And the Podcast Will Rock with Mark Kammeyer, who, as we're recording this, is out rocking his heart out on stage somewhere in Nashville, Tennessee. I'll be recording the Van Halen show with him tomorrow night as we wrap up All-Star August. But, of course, we're breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time, much like we're doing here with Aerosmith. And now we're doing things a little bit different. So hopefully the new format isn't too confusing. I think I got a handle on it. It'll make sense, I'm sure, as we go along, until John has another epiphany and completely changes whatever the hell we're doing here.
You know, as long as you're going to let me make changes, I'm going to make changes, Corey.
I know you are. We got a long road to hoe here, my friend. A long way to go. So I'm sure the format will change a few more times before it's all said and done. But until that happens, on behalf of John Mariano, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for listening. And we'll see you next time on Backtrack's Aerosmith Revisited. And as always, we'll give the final word to Steven Tyler.